Today we are kickstarting a series called Generational. Say the word generational. You know, the pastoral meeting that we had maybe about 5 days before Pastor Tim passed, he wrote this word on the whiteboard in our pastor's meeting, among other words, and the word's generational. And he speak to us as a pastoral team about what it means to see every nation 2.0. How do we want to lead the church forward? And one of the words that was written down there is this word called generational. And this series attempts for us to see how we can, as a church that serve and lead together from the various generation, that we want to learn to serve together, to walk together, to serve one another, and lead together from the various generation. If you have been with us for some time, you will also seen that how we have believed and how we have invested always into the next generation. But the question remains, can it be done really, right? Can the experienced generation and the emerging generation be mobilized together? I know it is easier said than done. Can the experienced generation and the emerging generation learn to understand one another, serve one another, and to serve God together, to be together in fulfilling God's mission for the church? Can the current leaders or the younger emerging leaders with the experienced leaders lead together? That's the question that we want to answer today, because generational gap is real, right? Generational gap is the difference of opinion, perspective, and outlooks between one generation to another. And this could involve values. This could involve preference, lifestyle. This could be how they see work, how they see family, marriages, parenting, lifestyle, traveling, money, church. These are all generational gaps that we all face. And it's real. It's real in all spheres of society, family as well. I have two teenagers, and I could see the nuances of difference between my 16 and 14-year-old with my 10 and 7-year-old. Even that 5 years difference, you could see nuances of generational gap in the way they prefer things. And we often hear parents that say, I don't understand my kids. I don't understand whether they're in the late teens, early teens, their early 20s. I don't understand. And we will have differences of opinions about different things. And that's real. And that's just the way it is. I noticed that in my days, we play games. Today, they watch people play games. Right? They watch reviews of people playing game. And I thought, what is so fun about that? I want to play the game. My older two teens, when they were younger, they watch cartoons, they watch various cartoons. And my younger two, they no longer watch cartoons. They watch YouTubers talking. Right? They watch shorts. They watch YouTubers talking about certain things, about from playing certain games, from traveling. And that's just that nuances of differences from generation to generation. And that's why in our church, we have many efforts and many platforms whereby we want to foster and create understanding between the different generation. And we are big in the next generation. That's why we have our conference as well. Workplace, right? It's common for the experienced generation to complain about the younger millennial Gen Z that comes. They couldn't understand that maybe in their view, in their mind, that the younger generation, they feel entitled maybe. Maybe they feel that they are not as hardworking. They don't understand why immediately at five, they clock off and they go for their spin cycle class. The older generation do not understand. And maybe the younger generation will feel that the experienced generation in the workplace, they are so fixed in doing certain things. They do not listen maybe. And they feel that they could not contribute. Work value of work, work loyalty, and stability of work is no longer a virtue compared to, say, 15, 20 years ago, whereby the key thing about work is stability. It is about surviving. It is about that fixed, stable job that you have. But today it's no longer a virtue. Today they value flexibility. They value opportunities to learn. They value opportunities to contribute, because there is that generational shift even in the workplace. Church is not spared as well, right? church is not spared as well. But I believe that the church is at a better place for us to understand different generations, because we are the people of God. And we do understand that God is a generational God. But we do hear, maybe the younger emerging generation leaders will say that, hey, that's, I don't understand why it has to be done this way. And the experienced and the established generation will say, this is how we do it all this while, and this works for us. And you don't have the experience that I have, but this is how it has been done, and this is why we do it. And the younger generation feels that they do not resonate with that. And they may say that, but that's not how we feel about that today. And there's that ongoing tension. And I know, as you see the church, and I believe that our church included, the church started off attracting maybe younger people because, yeah, the pastor, the founder of the church, the leader is young, therefore you attract the young people. But as years goes by, as decades goes by, obviously the congregation gets older and older, similar to the pastor. But over time, they begin to realize that, hey, we begin losing generation, the younger generation. And oftentimes, the church begin to scramble to try to be relevant to the young people, and they swing from pendulum to pendulum, reaching the young people. And then maybe the experienced generation feels a little bit neglected, and they will maybe kind of just, hey, what about us? And then the church will swing back to meeting the needs and serving the experienced generation, and then you lose young people. And then church begin to swing from pendulum to pendulum. But it doesn't have to be that way. Right? We want every nation to be a generational church, whereby we all from our different generation can come together, be united for God's mission, be connected relationally, so that we can lead and serve together. So this series helps us to think generationally. And we want to be a place where experienced leaders and emerging leaders can walk and work together, can lead and do life together, can change the world together, and cross the finish line together. Can I hear a good amen? And that's the heartbeat of this series. You know, one of the highlights of this year, in the first quarter of this year, is this program called Apprentice Program for the SPM leavers as well as the IG's leavers, whereby the teens comes together for a 10-week program. And this is our first year launching this program, championed by Pastor Jason and Jessica, and just begin to impart them with different truths and practical things about different areas of life, including faith. And they get to do life together, they get to go mission trip together. And man, I could see the 180-degree change in just the dynamics. I was one of the older teachers in the earlier part of Apprentice, but when I see them 10 weeks down the road, I could see just a 180-degree change in so many of them. And some of you who have kids or teens attend that, you will attest to that. I attended their graduation ceremony, and this is part and parcel why we want to believe and serve the next generation. And you can do that, and we see that in the Bible as well, right? Sitting here, you may be wondering, Pastor, am I in the emerging or the experienced generation? The good news is you can be in both. Yeah, you can be an experienced generation to those who are coming after you, but you can, in a sense, be an emerging generation to those who are a little bit more established, a little bit more experienced, those that have gone before you, right? You can be both. That's the good news. And we see that in the Bible, right? Paul was an emerging generation when it comes to people like Barnabas. When he was first called into the ministry, Barnabas took him in, and he had to look up to people like Peter and James and John. But later on in life, as Paul began to flourish in his ministry, planting different churches, he had many emerging generation that comes after him. People like Timothy, people like Priscilla and Aquinas, and different ones that see Paul as an experienced generation. So you can be both. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are both. So today, we want to kind of just talk about why think generation. Why so susah, we have to consider the different generation. Isn't it easier for us to just focus on our own generation and not to be bothered about what's going on in the other generation or in the next generation? Number one, God is a generational God. Every time, especially in the Old Testament, when you see how God introduced himself, you will find that God oftentimes introduced himself with multiple references to the different generation. And in Exodus 3, and this is how God introduced himself to Moses. God did not just introduce Moses, I am your God. But God introduced Moses, says, I am the God of your father, which is Amram. He says, I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. And God made references to four generations when he introduced himself to Moses, because God is a generational God. God thinks generations. In the Old Testament as well, when God gave an account of someone, you can see that the Bible gives more references speaking about the generation that comes after when God is giving an account of that person. For example, Genesis 25, where it says, God says, this is an account of Isaac. And then a few lines about Isaac, and the rest of the various lines and chapters speaks about Isaac's children, Jacob and Esau. So God do not just silo and think one generation, but God is a God of generation, and God thinks generation. Secondly, God writes history and legacy through generations. I like these Psalms. Can we read this together? 1, 2, go. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. When David wrote these Psalms, David was encouraging the different generation to commend the works of God to each other. David wanted the older generation to remind the younger generation of the various miracles and acts that God has done in the history of Israel, the parting of the Red Sea, the provision of the manna. And David wanted the older generation to remind the younger generation of that. At the same time, David wanted the emerging younger generation, as they experience God in their generation, in their life, they begin to recite and they begin to declare that to the older generation so that it may refresh the older generation as well, that God is not just God of the past, but it is God of the present and God of the future. See, God writes history and legacy through generations. Sometimes, right, we can be concerned about our own needs, and that's right, and that's natural. But this series allows us to stretch a little bit more, for us to see, not just to be aware, but seek to begin to understand and to begin to see how can we lead and serve multi-generationally. And today, we are focusing on the emerging generation, speaking to the emerging generation. And next week, we will be speaking to the experienced generation. I like this picture. This is just a picture of Pastor Jason doing dialogue with his father, Nat, which is our point person for our Every Nation, Alosatar. And our Every Nation, Alosatar, if you don't know, they meet every Tuesday. So every Tuesday, Pastor Jonathan, Nat, as well as now Pastor Lawrence, because they are Mandarin-speaking people in Alosatar, they will drive down to Alosatar Tuesday evening, maybe about 3 o'clock, and they'll meet some people, and they will do service on Tuesday night, 8 p.m., and then they will drive back to Penang late after the service. But this is a picture of two generations that is serving God together, that is leading and serving together. It's a beautiful picture, and I know that this is just... There are many other pictures amongst us. 2 years ago, my teens went for the teens camp in Cameron, and I went to Cameron to pick up my son earlier one day because he has a tournament after. And one of the teens leader, Edson, followed me down because he has an exam the next day. You know, having exam but yet still serving the teens, leading the teens. So as we drove down, I looked behind at the rearview mirror, obviously they are asleep, tired, right, Cam? And I thought to myself, wow, you know, I serve with Edson's father, which is Pastor Eric in our Mandarin service, when I was a student, and Edson's father was so-called a generation above me in terms of age, in terms of experience, maturity in the Lord. And I thought to myself, and now his son is ministering and leading my son and my children. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of generations that declares the works of God. And I know there are many here intertwined right? I saw some serving guitarists. I know the parents. And so many, some of the parents' children are now leading your children. And that is the picture of every nation, that we want to learn to lead and serve the generations. Let me move on. So today, we want to speak to emerging generation. Okay, quickly, as we talk about the example of David, you know the backdrop whereby at that time, the Israelites, they have no king. God is their king, but they look at the neighboring country. They have a human king, and they tell God, God, we want king. We want king. We want king. So God gave them a king, appointed King Saul to be the king. King Saul started off okay, but as the time goes by, his heart wandered. He was insecure. And God says, I want to choose a new king who is after my own heart. And there is the search of the new king, which is King David. And at that time, King David was young. I mean, he was 14, 15 years old. He was tending the sheep outside. And he was so insignificant that even his father forgot about him when Prophet Samuel came to the house and told the father, Jesse, and says, hey, one of your sons is going to be king. Can you bring all your sons in? And Jesse, the father, brought all his seven sons, parade them one by one. What about this? What about this? What about this? And one by one, Samuel says, no, no. The Lord looks at the heart. No. Do you have any other sons? Oh, there's one more outside. He's young. He's, you know, tending the sheep somewhere. He's playing his phone. No, he's not playing his phone. He's tending the sheep and he's playing instruments. And he says, bring him in. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. And the Lord says, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So that's how David was anointed as king. And he was that inexperienced, young, emerging leader that God has chosen. And guess what he did after this? He did not go around telling people that I'm the next king and tells the brother that I'm the next king, so you better listen to me. Now you go and tend the sheep. No, David was humble. David was humble and he was faithful with the little things. And word starts to spread that he plays great music, right? He was playing echo songs and he was playing good music whereby every time he plays, the presence of God will come. And King Saul was tormented by the evil spirit because God has allowed it to. And he says, do you know anyone who can play music whereby it soothes my soul? And someone say, hey, there's this young guy, David, and I heard that he plays, every time he plays the music, the presence of God came. And King Saul sent for him. He says, send me David, your son, who is with the sheep. Which means that David, after being anointed to be the next king, okay, next king here is not about being anointed to be a leader or a class monitor. No, it's the next king. David went about being faithful with the little things. David was humble. He was patient. And David came to Saul and he entered his service and he served King Saul. He became his armor bearer. He became his musician. Every time King Saul wants play, David plays. Every time King Saul wants something, David, can you bring me a cup of coffee? Can you bring me my stuff? David did that. David was his personal assistant that does everything. So emerging generation, the first thing, words for the emerging generation is be faithful with the little things. Because God is working in your heart. Be faithful with the little things. No job is too small for us. Because God is working and working in our hearts to prepare you, to prepare all of us, David included. As David grows, you can see his stature begins to grow. I remember there was one time that I was in my mid-20s. I went to Manila for my ministry school, Every Nation, School of World Mission. And over here in church, in the Annex Hall, this place was not ours yet. We were meeting in the Annex Hall. And I was leading a live group together with Pastor Stephen. Or Pastor Stephen handed the live group over to me. I was leading worship. So when I went to Manila, we had to volunteer as part of our course. So I said, okay, maybe I'll volunteer as a video DJ, projectionist. I'll volunteer, right? Because they didn't want me in their worship team. Very sad. But I said, okay, I'll do that. So I was serving, and it was 1 week whereby I was serving, and they changed the song, and I wasn't informed. So when they sang, and when they go to the second song, I realized it was the wrong song, right? And you panic. You know, video DJ, I think you, back there, they can understand. Everything goes well. Nobody looked at them. But when something goes wrong, every head turns behind, right? I began to realize it was the wrong song. And I panicked for a while. I tried to scramble and try to put on the right song. And I was obviously delayed. And the service coordinator came up to me and he scolded me. He says, "Hey, why are you not alert?" So I was not happy. Okay, I was like, man. You know, back in KL, I was leading worship. I was leading. And now, you know, I'm scolded for no reason. Then I heard God begin to speak to me. "Sean, who are you serving? Why are you complaining?" You know, when God speaks to you, there's only one answer, right? Yes. Sorry, God. You know, I check my heart. You know, I serve. You know, God works in us. When you are faithful with the little things, God begin to work in your heart. So to the emerging generation, I want to encourage you to be faithful with the little things. Second thing is the courage of David. So as David was faithful, God began to add more task and portfolio to him. And one day he was delivering bread to his brothers who are at war with the Philistine. If you grow up in church, you'll be familiar with the story. And he saw this Goliath taunting the name of God. So David, being a man after God's heart, he betahan, right? He cannot take it. He had to stand up and he asked Saul, he says, "Hey, who's going to fight this guy? He is insulting, he's mocking the name of our God." King Saul says, "You know what? This guy is 10 foot tall. It's nobody. We all hear his taunt. We all shaking to our knees." And David said to him, he says, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And then King Saul looked at David and says, "No, you cannot, because you are but a youth. You are so young. And this guy, he has been a man of war since his youth." Right? From the moment he was born, he was already ready to fight. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion, a bear, he took a lamb from the flock." Basically, he's saying that your servant has killed both lion and the bear. And today, I'm going to do the same. And Saul tells David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." To the emerging generation, there has to come a time whereby we stand up and be counted. Whereby we say that this is my time. I know that God has called me to do this. Stand up and be counted. It is time that we stand up and be strong and courageous, that we obey the call of God to maybe to make a stand at work. Maybe your leader, your pastor has asked you, maybe would you like to step out as a core, as a life group leader? It's time to stand up and be counted. It is not the time to say that, you know, "I'm not ready. There are some people who are more experienced. What about this person? What about that person? I'm not ready. I'm too busy." It is time for us to stand up for that generation, to be strong and courageous. More about that later. But David, as they go along, David becomes more and more prominent. He defeated Goliath. And obviously now he is the talk of the town, right? He went viral, like the slingshot. Wow, shed viral. And when they came back to the city, the girls were singing his name. The girls were singing his praise, right? The song that he says, "Saul slain 100, but David slain 1,000. Wow, if you're a guy and you're walking through the streets there, you feel good, right? People were singing your name. But it was a test. It was a test of David's heart. Same song, two different tests. Saul failed the test. He became insecure. He became jealous of David. And from then on, he began to pursue and he wanted to kill David. Jealousy and insecurity got the better of Saul. David had to run, right? David had to run. And the time where there was two occasions that David has an opportunity to kill King Saul. In the cave, when Saul wasn't aware, but David had the opportunity to, but he didn't. He didn't for the fear of the Lord, and he didn't because in his posture, he was honoring of King Saul. He was honoring of King Saul. To the emerging generation, one posture of our heart that we want to be is to be honoring and to be humble and to be respectful of the experienced generation. I'm not saying that our experienced generation are like Saul. They are not. Okay, we are people that wants to honor God, are people that wants to serve God, but maybe there are generational gaps. But as an emerging generation, we want to learn to have the posture of David, to be honoring, to be humble, to be patient, to learn, and to be respectful of that generation. And that those are the three thoughts that we want to put into the heart of the emerging generation. Be faithful in little things, be strong and courageous, stand up and be counted. Number three is to be honoring of the experienced generation. Now, I know this picture is probably, it's a picture whereby it speaks about COVID and how social distancing can break the chain of COVID. Now, we all know our biggest lesson in COVID is that toilet papers are essential products, okay? I'm just kidding. But if I can use this picture and just kind of turn it around, imagine the burnt matches. Generations that go before us, they is on fire for God. They pay the price. They stood up and be counted in their generation. But when it comes to you, in your generation, if you were to string back, if you were not to stand up and be counted, guess what? The heartbeat, the fire of that generation is lost. It's lost. We are here today because there are generations before us that paid the price for us to be where we are today. If you are born in a Christian family, I'm a first generation Christian in my family, but some of you are born in a Christian family, your parents or your grandparents had paid the price in terms of being the first Christian in their family. Maybe some of them have gone through persecution, has gone through discrimination. They have paid the price and you are standing on the spiritual inheritance in your family. This church, we are here because there are people that has gone before us, who has given and sacrificed financially. They have stood up and be counted. And they gave, especially when we moved to our annex building. They gave, they serve. There are people that has gone before us to lay that foundation for us so that, not so that we can take it easy, but so that we can stand on their shoulders, that we can take this baton and continue to stand up for our generation, for your generation, and to continue to build upon the legacy, to build upon the spiritual heritage that we have. Stand up and be counted. You know, when I look at the life of David, Acts 13, it says when David has served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. Generation can be lost just like that. This is statistics in South Korea. By 1970, 18% of population was Christian. By the year 2000, it was 31%. And by 2006, South Korea is the second largest nation sending missionary, just behind United States in the world. Okay, the second largest nation sending missionaries to all over the world. There were 50,000 churches for a 50 million nation population. So one would think that the Christianity trajectory of South Korea will be great. But the opposite happened. I'm reading this. It says, things change. The younger generation is leaving the church in startling fashion, said a New Testament professor in Seoul. The reasons are complex, ranging from secularization, materialism, to rejection of institution of a church in general. And that's the decline because the generation that comes before did not stand up to be counted, did not build upon the spiritual legacy that they have, that their older generation has left for them. Sure, there are generation gap, but they did not stand up to be counted. David has served God's purpose. And I was thinking how to reflect this, and I was looking for examples, Googling, and I thought that we do not have to look further than to remember the example of our beloved pastor, Pastor Tim, that he stood up and be counted during his generation. Not just now, but when he was a university student, USM, he did not live like any other university student. He stood up and be counted. He served his generation in USM. He fetched people to the youth fellowship, to the Christian fellowship. He served in worship. He helped people. He discipled. He reached out. He stood up and be counted in his generation in USM. When he graduated, he had opportunity to be given a lucrative starting job as a fresh grad, but he answered the call of God. He sacrificed and went to Bible college, Bible temple for 2 years before coming back and work. What did he do? He stood up and be counted. He obeyed the call of God. He did not say that, oh, I'm just fresh grad and maybe let me work 5 years first and let this person do it. This person, no, he obeyed the call of God and he stood up and be counted for his generation when he was a fresh graduate. Coming back working when he was in his mid-20s, late-20s, as a young working adult, he served the students. And that's where people like myself, we were rich and we were blessed because he chose to stand up and be counted and not live like any other working adult out there who is pursuing so many things and nothing wrong with those things. But Pastor Timothy stood up and be counted for that generation and he invested in my generation, student, reaching out to us, spending 2-3 nights a week with us and sometimes had to juggle with his newborn and go through work and come back for prayer meeting and meet us for mama. Why? Because he stood up and be counted. He kind of took over the church as a senior pastor when he was around 32, 33 years old. 32 and 33 years old, took over a senior pastor of a church. He did not say, I'm not ready. He did not say that maybe someone else. But God has work in his heart. He was faithful with little things. But when his Goliath moment came, whether it's in university, whether it's a young working adult, whether it's becoming a senior pastor of a church at the age of 32, I stand up and be counted. And he continues to do that until this year. So my encouragement for all of us here is, will we together stand up and be counted, not just for our generation, but for the different generation? For some of you, in your experience, your established generation, you have so much to give and so much to invest in. Whether it's couples, whether it is prayer ministry, whether it is journeying with younger working professionals, whether it's serving the next generation, the kids. I know some of us, we are doing that. Some of you are in your emerging generation. My encouragement to you is, will you stand up and be counted? And not to live like any other university student or any other young adults, but to stand up and be counted so that we can truly come together as one to serve and lead the many multi-generation. Can I hear a good amen?